Bill, and thank you all for attending this session. Would like to acknowledge my co-authors on this oral paper. Rich Horsley is the chair of the Department of Plant Sciences at North Dakota State University. Eric Brevik is the chair of the Department of Natural Sciences at Dickinson State University. And Glenn Martin, like myself, we were at the North Dakota State University Dickinson Research Extension Center. I've got a little bit of a cold now, so if you have trouble hearing me, you'll probably say that's okay anyway, but let me know and I'll try to make sure I'm speaking into the mic. It's quite well established in the literature that intensive tillage accelerates soil organic carbon mineralization, and with that, the respiration of CO2 into the atmosphere. A lot of research has been published indicating that soil organic carbon is greater under no-till than continuous till. Well, if that's the case, then it seems like a good strategy, and if we want to sequester carbon in the soil, is to promote no-till. And we've heard some of that in this session already. But I think a question that is begged is, does no-till really increase soil organic content, soil organic carbon content? Or does it merely stratify it? In other words, when you look at the entire soil profile, I think it is quite well established that there's greater amounts of soil organic carbon closer to the surface under no-till. But when you look at the whole profile, is that actually the case? Baker and colleagues did review the literature, and what they concluded was, no, that's actually not the case, that soil organic carbon is being sequestered under no-till. And what they found was, in the vast majority of cases where they looked at the entire profile, greater amounts of soil organic carbon actually occurred with depth in clean-till systems. So when you consider the total amount of soil organic carbon across the profile under no-till versus clean-till, you can see what their conclusion was. They weren't saying that there aren't necessarily any good reasons to adopt no-till in terms of soil erosion control, but in terms of soil organic carbon, there really wasn't any compelling reason to adopt no-till. Did I confuse everybody yet? Okay. And they're not the only ones. I mean, in the literature, there are several good scientists who have either reviewed the literature or have contributed original data who came to the same conclusion. In addition, and this is the new stuff, for a few who've heard me talk about the other stuff before, there is some indication in the literature that a long-time adoption of no-till results in decreases in soil pH. Well, we haven't traditionally been too concerned about that in places like the Northern Great Plains, but we are starting to get soil pH levels that are getting down there close to 5 or even a little bit below in some places, and now all of a sudden pH is becoming a concern. So, aha! Something to take a look at Dickinson, where I'm located at. Our objectives were, one, to determine if there is any evidence in say, western North Dakota, suggesting that soil organic carbon, in fact, does accumulate following long-time adoption of no-till, and also to determine if there's any evidence that this long-time adoption of no-till results in a decrease in soil pH. So to do this, tillage plots were established back in 1993, and a randomized complete block replicated 8 times. So Merle, we do have some long-time data in terms of no-till versus clean-till or conventional-till. And then within each of those tillage plots, six, as you can see, 3.2 centimeter in diameter cores were collected during the corn phase of a barley-corn rotation, 20 years after the tillage systems had been in place. And then within each of those cores, we looked at some data for 3 depth increments, 0 to 30, 30 to 60, and 60 to 90 centimeter depths. So soil bulk density was determined for each soil core at each of those 3 depth increments. So organic matter was determined by loss of ignition. And then we used constants depending on depth to convert that to soil organic carbon. And soil pH was determined in an aqueous solution for each of those depths for each of those cores. Data were analyzed using PROC mix, and the PDIF option was used to separate treatment means at P less than 0.05 level. And very quickly, here are some of our data. Just to orient yourselves very, very quickly, where treatment means differ, that's indicated within a tillage treatment by a change in small letter. and actually, that's depth. And then as you go across the tillage treatments, the capital letter, where it does differ between treatment means, indicated a significant difference. And again, that's at the P less than 0.05 level. And as you can see, in terms of soil organic carbon, a significantly greater amounts under no-till versus the other versus the tilled systems at that shallowest soil depth. As we move to the middle soil depth, greater amounts of soil organic carbon under no-till versus reduced till. But we weren't able to detect a significant difference under no-till versus conventional or clean till. Similarly, as we go to the deepest increment, the 60 to 90 centimeter depth, greater amounts under no-till versus reduced till again, but unable to detect at the P less than 0.05 level any difference between no-till versus a clean till. Okay. Now, when you can compare the tilled systems, no difference at the shallowest soil depth, no difference at the middle soil depth, but, well, I'll leave it at that. And then looking at pH, the good news is, at least what we have found in our environment, is there is no indication that adoption of no-till results in any impact at all on soil pH at any depth. Doesn't matter at Dickinson. Not too surprisingly, in terms of depth, in terms of soil organic carbon, as we went to the shallowest to the middle soil depth, consistently across all three tillage systems, we saw a reduction in soil organic carbon. As we looked at the middle soil depth to the lowest soil depth, we saw a continued reduction in soil organic carbon under the reduced till and the no-till treatment, but no significant difference as we went from that middle to lowest soil depth in the clean till system. In terms of soil pH, looking at soil depth, we saw a consistent decline, a consistent increase in soil pH as we went from shallow to middle to lowest soil depth, regardless of tillage system, which isn't too surprising. So when we looked at total amount of soil organic carbon across the 0 to 90 centimeter depth, we did find that it was elevated under no-till versus reduced till and clean till. And P equal to 0.003, so it's quite significant. Okay, you can see the total amounts there. Translating that to a comparison of no-till versus clean-till, in our study after 20 years in western North Dakota, we found a 15 microgram per hectare increase under no-till versus clean-till, and that translates into about a 750 kilogram per hectare per year increase under no-till across those 20 years. When you compare that to the literature, that is a little bit higher than what some of the other authors have suggested we would find. But they also weren't considering soil organic carbon across that entire 90 centimeter depth. So why did we find this enhancement in soil organic carbon over time in western North Dakota when many excellent researchers have found really kind of a wash and no enhancement in soil organic carbon when they've looked at no-till versus clean-till in their environments? And I never come up with a good idea, but Vanden Bygaard come up with a good explanation when he did a similar comparison looking across Canada. And I often go to the Canadians because they seem to have a lot of great ideas. And what he suggested, there were three reasons to explain why they found something very similar when they looked at the prairie province soils versus, say, eastern Canada where it's more humid. One, northern Great Plains soils tend to be dry. And because of that, the residue that's deposited under no-till does accumulate. Whereas if you go to more humid regions, it's going to break down a lot faster just because there's an environment that is more enhancing for a residue breakdown. So we are seeing a buildup in residue under no-till over time. It just doesn't break down in our dry areas. Two, and a big one, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but when we adopted no-till in western North Dakota after I got there, we saw yields increase, overnight. It didn't take five. We saw a big increase in yield. And so we're producing more grain and we're producing more biomass. It's that simple. We are producing more of the stuff that results in soil organic carbon accumulation. And that's been very consistent. So a question that was asked just a few minutes ago, why aren't farmers, or what are some of the obstacles to farmers adopting no-till in western North Dakota? There aren't any. 60%, it's estimated that 60% of the growers in western North Dakota now are no-till farmers. No-till is the conventional farming in western North Dakota anymore, which is great if you're a no-till researcher. And then third, in the Great Plains, if you look at what crop dominates cropping systems in the Great Plains, it's wheat. Well, wheat tends to be a little bit higher in lignin, I understand, than are some of the crops grown in some of these other regions. So we're producing more biomass. It breaks down slower chemically in terms of structure, and it also accumulates because it's drier. Now, probably one question you're going to want to ask, and I'll probably decline just because my throat's going to be hurting so much, is, okay, that's great, but why did you see this increase in soil organic carbon quite consistently throughout those three depth increments under no-till versus reduced-till, and yet you didn't see the same kind of decline when you looked at those lower soil depths when you looked at no-till versus clean-till? And honestly, I don't have any good explanation. I will tell you as best I could that it's a true treatment effect. There wasn't an outlier or something that explained it. It looks like a real treatment effect, but why it's occurring, there are a lot of smart people in this room. Maybe you can help us understand. There really was no indication at all that soil pH declined 20 years after adoption of no-till versus a clean-till, and we also looked at pH comparison at shallower depths than the 0 to 30 here, and it was the same. There was no difference. It was consistent across all three tillage systems. That is the good news. The bad news, moving away from this, our soil pH in our surface 15 centimeters was about 5.3. When I first showed up at Dickinson, I looked at soil pH, and soil pH back then was in the upper fives. So we are seeing a decrease in soil pH in just the short amount of time that I've been there. Which actually I'm not as young as I'd like to think, but that is starting to be a little bit of concern for us. And we are starting to talk about it in the Great Plains, just like I know some of you have been in the Palouse. So our results do indicate that it is a good thing for those who are proponents of no-till, that soil organic carbon does accumulate following adoption of no-till in a place like western North Dakota and eastern Montana. Obviously, it's going to be very, very difficult, I think, and challenging for anyone to try to make these broad statements about the impact of no-till and things like soil organic carbon over these large regions. I think it's obviously governed by a lot of complex factors, and it's very sensitive to environmental differences and cropping system differences, so it's going to be hard to, again, make these broad generalizations. And the good news is, in terms of nitrogen management anyway, there is no indication that adoption of no-till results in any impact on soil pH. That's it. I guess I did fairly well in terms of time. Only if it's easy to answer, Gary, but go ahead. Okay. We did not. The smaller increment we looked at was confined just to the top 6 inches. Yep.
Well, the reason I ask is because we have a lot of residue accumulation in that surface inch or two.
Uh-huh.
And so if there's going to be a pH decline, I would assume it might be right there because there's more CO2
being. Yep. Thanks, Gary. They're residual soils. They're older soils. They're kind of unique to the western part of the state. And the pHs do tend to be a little bit lower than they would be in much of the state. Much of the state, they're glacial till soils. So these are a little unique in southwestern North Dakota. Yep. Darn. Okay. Go ahead, Alan. No, they haven't always been intermediate. No, they really haven't. In fact, a lot of times We haven't seen any big positive impact of reduced till versus clean till. I mean, it's for our, in our environment, it's no till or nothing basically. Then we really see the improvements. So, thank you very much.